Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and welcome to an hour of mind power. Well, do you like the phenomenal? Are you interested in the unusual? To quote a word a guest just said, quirky, odd, fascinating, intimidating, upsetting, curious, all of those words apply to a subject matter that I know so many of you are acquainted with, and that is Ripley's Believe It or Not. And my guest today is Tim O'Brien. He has been with me before. We are going to be talking about some of the fascinating, fascinating information that's in Ripley's brand new book called The Remarkable Revealed. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Great to be here.
Well, it is so much fun. I've been a fan of Ripley's. Gee whiz. I won't even say how many years. It's just been wonderful. And I've always liked the oddball stuff that they pick up. And for those who are listening, I'd like them to know that you go around the country as a spokesperson for Ripley's, Believe It or Not, and it's called Ripley Entertainment. You go into different parts of the world. You are a veteran photojournalist who have just been involved in the amusement and attraction industries for, oh my goodness, so many years. And you became interested in Ripley's material as well. And so Robert Ripley enabled you to become an expert on the company's history before you decided to officially join the team. Tell us about that meeting and how the two of you got together.
Isn't that great? It's a super job, Donna. It's you know, representing a company like Ripley is just amazing. But you know, Ripley died in 1949, and the company was able to survive through the 50s, 60s, and 70s, and never really showed much growth. And in 1985, the Jim Pattison Group out of Vancouver, Canada, purchased it. And in 1989 was really a determining factor. Bob Masterson took over as president. And when he took over, we just had a handful of attractions, and they were all the little, believe it or not, museums. And today, under Bob's direction, we have 63 attractions, which include 29, believe it or not, museums in 11 countries.
Wow.
So the growth has been amazing, and I was able to witness a lot of that growth as a journalist covering the attractions and the theme park industries, which I began in 85. So I was able to see what the company looked like before Bob took over and then kind of followed it through its growth period in the early to late 90s. And I was just really amazed that, you know, a company by the name of Ripley's, which I grew up reading the little paperback books, and then to see them grow like they did, and I got to do the stories on them, and I visited a lot of them, and I got hooked on Ripley's again in the you know, in the mid 90s,
mm-hmm.
because each of the museums is different. Although they each have a shrunken head, they have different shrunken heads. Although each have two-headed animals, they all have different ones. So every place that I went covering the industry for my job, I would always go into Ripley's if there was one there. And I became friends with the executive staff of Ripley's because they always showed up at all the different conferences and conventions that the industry has. So I got to know all the guys in just a casual talk in late 2003, said, you know, I would love to come over. You know, I've been a journalist for 36 years, and maybe it's a little time to change and start having a little bit more fun, you know?
Well, I think it's marvelous because you are dealing with unique facts, circumstances, oddities. And if nothing else, it gives you something to talk about. If you run out of subject matter, all you have to do is go get the book. And if a gal's on a date and she really wants to impress a guy, I say, just a book and it'll blow his mind. And if you,
you know,
can't put up with the stories, then you know you got the wrong one.
You know, it's really true because we have, we like to entertain guests. And what we do is before we, the evening begins, we put a couple of these books out and around.
Mm-hmm.
And within a couple hours of people coming in and after they originally say hi and they get their glass of wine and go off into a corner somewhere, you know, we have these little groups of people gathered around the book, and that's the entertainment for the night.
Well, I mean, it is just absolutely fascinating. And because it is so unique, it's not something you're going to talk about on an everyday basis at your local grocery store. But, wow, and with kids. What a wonderful way to get them stimulated, one, to read, to find out about different things, and two, to be able to gross their friends out with somebody different.
Yes. That's a good combination, isn't it? Well, we heard just about a couple months ago that some library association had done research on early readers and figured out the problems as kids became teenagers, mostly boys in the 8, 9, 10, 11, the tween years, that they did not want to read. And they found that those teenagers and tweeners that were presented with Ripley books actually learned to love reading all over again because of the content. And as you said, you know, the, ooh, gosh, ooh, gross.
Yes. And then they can go out and talk about what they read. It's in the book. I really read it. I really did. But the key is, I think, when you have a youngster that is wanting to read, there is so much variety here that they'll not be bored. And
that's
I think
right.
With a lot of youngsters today, their minds are moving at a rate of speed of assimilation that the previous generations just don't understand. So I think that's a marvelous idea. What a wonderful project to give to a kid and say, okay, read page number 14 in this book and tell me about the robot kitchen. Whoa, what's that?
Yeah, really.
You know,
and, you know, Donna, what's really cool is that the Ripley style does not necessarily explain something. It just presents it. So people will say, that way it's a lot easier. I don't believe that because you don't really overly explain it. It's
mm-hmm.
just, and that's a style that Ripley created in 1918 with his first cartoon. So a good friend of mine is a fifth grade teacher, and what she does is she has these books. The kids will go through and pick out one of the facts, one of the statements, and then their research project is to research that and find out why it is true.
Right. Well, let's talk about something that's in the book here. It's like the robot kitchen I mentioned, and I've got it right in front of me. And this is all about a restaurant in Hong Kong, a shopping mall, that's causing a bit of a stir with their diners because of the staff. And the owners of Robot Kitchen claim that it's the first restaurant in the world to have robots as waiters. And you have a picture of robot number two who could recognize voice patterns, take meal orders, which are sent by infrared technology to the kitchen, and it also helps to serve the meals to customers. I mean, this dude is pretty cute.
Believe it or not.
He's ugly, but he's cute.
It's hard to make a cute robot, I would think.
Oh, they're going to come up with one, trust me. They've been working on it. I mean, after all, science fiction's been talking about that for years. Let's talk about some of the unusual facts. I absolutely loved this one fact. Yahya Wahab received a phone bill for $218 trillion from Telekom Malaysia for recent calls that had been made on the telephone line of his deceased father. $218 trillion. Did they have enough space on the paper to even type that out?
How many zeros is that?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's
amazing.
That's one of those wonderful little tidbits that we discovered in doing our research. You know, and as we said earlier, everything in a Ripley book or Ripley cartoon or in our TV show is true. And you know, Ripley himself pretty much is the one who stepped forward and said, truth is much more strange than fiction.
Oh, I'd agree with him.
And we've been able to do that. And, you know, through all the years, Ripley, from 1918 to 1949, was only proven wrong once or twice.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah, there's actually some, believe it or not, about people who think they caught Ripley in something wrong and did research and was found that they were wrong. Yeah, that one guy wrote like 26,000 letters over a 10-year period in the 30s trying to prove Ripley wrong and was never able to do it.
Ooh, what a wonderful tidbit of information. 26,000 letters, and that was before computers.
Yes.
Holy Moses, he couldn't do that on an automatic repeat, that's for sure.
That's for sure. And so the man, obviously, so he not only had time on his hand, but he became part of Ripley history because he saved all those letters, and his wife gave them to us after he died, and now we have an exhibit of all of his letters, along with the fact that the guy tried to prove us wrong and was never able to do so.
How incredible. Now, this one I really like, too. A Japanese man was arrested after making 37,760 silent calls to directory inquiries because he enjoyed listening to the kind voices of female telephone operators. He made 905 calls a day. What else did he do with his life?
He's a lonely man.
Oh, my goodness. I mean, this is unreal. But here's, you know, it's just absolutely so much fun. And I really love this one. In 2006, a Scottish council sought an antisocial behavior order, on a rooster, that crowed too early and too loudly. Apparently, the rooster's name is Charlie, and his crowing exceeded the 30 decibel limit set by the World Health Organization. So it was demanded that the owner keep the bird silent between 11 p.m. and 7 a.m. Give me a break, a rooster, when as soon as he sees the first ray of light, he's out there. You've got a neighbor over here that's got one. Trust me, that sun comes up, that rooster's crowing.
And there's no way to stop him.
Amazing.
And, you know, speaking of animals, we have a feature which is my favorite in this book, is a little 11-year-old girl that lives in Florida. And she has learned the technique to actually hypnotize lizards.
Oh, and come on.
So she'll pick up a lizard. This is fun. She picks up a lizard. She hypnotizes it. Then when they go limp, she dresses them up in little outfits and puts them in her dollhouse.
Oh,
we got we got some great pictures in this volume of her doing that, and it's wonderful.
Oh, well, you know, in the animal section, the one that really got to me as a visual was I Love Snakes, and it's the Thai man who inhabits one of the world's strangest villages, the Koh Sanga, which means King Cobra Village. Boy, if my audience is hearing this, they're going to have visions in their night, you know, in their worst nightmare. This is in northeast Thailand, and many of these villagers keep venomous king cobra snakes in wooden boxes under their homes. I bet you they don't have much problem with theft.
No.
And every year, the village stages a three-day festival celebrating this deadly snake. The entertainment on offer includes men who fight the snake barehanded and women who dance with the cobra's heads in their mouth. I think I'd skip dinner. I think I really checked this place out before I went to visit.
And we also have pictures of that.
I mean, it's just unbelievable.
It is, and we have a gentleman in Texas that we've pictured in the same book there with rattlesnakes, and he has 10 rattlesnakes in his mouth dangling. Jack Bibby of Fort Worth, Texas. So some people find some interesting things. I could find a lot better uses for snakes, I think, than putting them in my mouth.
Me too, and I don't think I'd want to sleep with one under the bed. You know, can you imagine how that snake feels after he's been in that box under that bed for a long time?
Hungry.
I don't think I'd want to have him as a guest. Thank you very much. Now, shifting a subject, which I know everybody's got the creepy callings now, let's talk about a guy, Adrian Riemann. He's from Southampton, England. this man is incredible. He's a do-it-yourself decorator. He has this little tiny apartment, and he's made this apartment a replica of the Palace of Versailles. And it is spectacular what he's done on the inside.
Yeah, it's people wonder. People are wonderful, aren't they? I mean, that's the side of Ripley that Robert Ripley himself would always bring out, and that we follow suit is you know, there's strange animals and strange happenings, but the quirkiness and the eccentricity of people are, you can't beat it. you couldn't write a script with some of the stuff that people do.
I mean, it's just absolutely amazing. You have information about Cambodia. Again, we go all over the world for this. Cambodia has a railroad with trains built mostly from bamboo and scavenged parts. Now, bamboo is an awesome, awesome material. And the older it gets, you know, once you cut it, the harder it gets. It's a lot like oak, I think. You know, the older it gets, the stronger. If you're going to do something with it, you do something with it when you first cut it, mold it, whatever you want to do with structure, style, and design. And then it just is unbelievable in its strength and stamina. Am I correct with bamboo?
Absolutely, absolutely. It's and a lot of people don't realize that. And that's what makes this a real believe it or not, because when you think of bamboo, you certainly don't think of anything, any hard material.
There are fascinating stories about a calligrapher, Zhang Qixi, who writes the Chinese character Long, which is equivalent to dragon, on a banner. Now, I looked at that, and I said, oh, well, that's no big deal. Then I looked at the cotton pickin' picture of the banner. It is 190 feet long, 92 feet wide. He used a brush 18 feet long and 6 feet 9 inches in diameter. And the total length of the character stroke is 469 feet. And I took a look at this brush, and I thought, how in the world did this man manage to even hold this brush? It's huge.
It's hard to comprehend. It really is.
It's amazing.
That's why it's a believe it or not.
True. Now, you also have, relating to art, a pavement Picasso, and I have seen this man's work, and I was so impressed with it. These are 3D chalk drawings that are so realistic. He's called the Pavement Picasso, and I was not aware he had done pictures in the U.S. I knew that he had done things in Europe, but, again, America and Australia. I didn't realize that he had done into those two locales, but he is just amazing, and he started this when?
When he was a kid, I believe. And it just took it from there.
Fascinating stuff. And you've got all of these beautiful photos that are here showing everything. And that is what absolutely is amazing. Now, for those of you out there in listening land, if you love chocolate, I've got to share this one. This is by a New York artist, Janine Anthony. And she made a series of self-portrait busts in soap and chocolate. And I've seen this on Ripley. I've seen it on the television program. For her chocolate creation, she chisels cubes of chocolate with her teeth. And she once used the brave wave signals recorded while she dreamed at night as a pattern for weaving a blanket the following morning. And for a 1992 exhibition, she washed her long hair and then mopped the floor of an art gallery in London, England with it. I mean, this woman obviously has an eccentric passion for chocolate.
Performance artist, too,
oh,
you know.
Oh, yes. What are some of your favorites, Tim? You've got so many wonderful things in here.
Oh, we do. You know, I love the art student in London who always wanted a Lamborghini and couldn't afford one, so she ended up, as a school project, knitted a full-size Lamborghini out of red yarn. And it's she used, like, almost 11 miles of yarn to create it.
Wow.
And,
about getting your dreams.
Yeah, and you know, you look at some of this stuff, and some of the stuff that you were pointing out, and you look at it and you say, well, why?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and if you have to say that, well, it belongs in Ripley's. You know, that's a fun part. And you were mentioning the photos, Donna. That's what makes this new series of books that we're doing, the cover as well as the interior photos, so much different from all the other photography as well as the other books that we had created before these. And, you know, we've been in the publishing business since 1929, and just 4 years ago we started putting these big, oversized, colorful books out. Because, you know, you grew up, and I'm sure I grew up, and a lot of our listeners did, with these little pen and ink drawings books,
mm-hmm.
these little paperback books with black and white drawings.
Okay.
And that's what a lot of people think of when they think of Ripley, because our cartoon is still run that way. And we decided, you know, let's try something different. So we came up with these 3D holographic covers that feature eyeballs in some way or another. And, you know, the eyeballs will follow you. If you sit the book down and walk out of the room, the book will follow you.
It does.
It really does. And they are so fun. And each of these new series of books have like 2,500, believe it or nots, in each one, and over 500 color photos. And, you know, it's one thing to see Lizard Man with his body full of tattoos in a pen and ink sketch, but to see it as a full-color, full-page photograph, now that makes it a real believe it or not right there.
Absolutely. Now let's talk about this one Chinese man. Actually, he's a Mongolian herdsman. His name is Bao, and I'm not sure about how to pronounce his last name. Is it Shishun?
I'm not sure either.
He is 7 feet 9 inches tall, and unlike other real tall people, he's perfectly healthy. He's not someone that is a sickly person at all. He was born in 1951 in Inner Mongolia, China. And he was normal until he hit the age of 18, and he had a sudden growth spurt, and he reached his height that he currently has, 7 feet 9 inches, 7 years later. And he's not had any growth disorder at all. But the story about him and the two dolphins,
yeah,
that just was astonishing.
It was creative just to think of the concept that he could use his arms to such valuable scientific study, right?
Right, and let's tell my audience what happened and what was the situation with these dolphins was so important.
Well, the dolphin was choking on an item, and I forget if we know the item. I don't have the book in front of me, but...
Well, I do. It was plastic.
Yeah, that's it. And it was stuck in the dolphin's throat and stomach area. And he would have died. The dolphin would have died because it obstructed any food intake. And they couldn't, for where it was, they couldn't get anything down there to actually be able to reach around all the muscles and everything to get that plastic out. So someone thought, hey, this guy is so tall. This guy has huge, long arms. Let's get him. So that's what it is. We've got some great photos of him sticking his arm down the dolphin's throat into its stomach and pulled out the plastic and saved the dolphin's life.
Yes, and what they did, they took towels and wrapped them around the dolphin's jaws so that they wouldn't, you know, obviously snap down on him, because this is not something, it's not unlike us being in the dentist.
You know, right.
Someone reaching down your throat with their arm and you're going to struggle and you're going to fight. So they were able to use towels to keep the dolphins from being harmed, and then he was able to bring out these two huge pieces of plastic that apparently they nibbled off of the sides of the pool that they were in. So he was responsible for saving their lives because of the length of his arms.
And the photograph that we have of him after he did that, with that smug little smile on his face, is priceless.
Oh, it is wonderful. Now, let's talk about another Chinese woman that I have had the privilege of seeing a program on. Her name is Yao Difen, and she's from Anhui province in eastern China. She is 7'8" tall. And this is a woman who is suffering terribly because she has a pituitary gland disorder. And you've got a fabulous picture of her because she is the tallest woman in the world. She's just an inch shorter than the tallest guy.
Yeah.
And it really is fascinating. And she is an incredibly, incredibly gentle soul. She's just a wonderful person, but unlike the man, she really has a health problem, and she needs medical treatment, and it's very hard for her to get it.
You know, Ripley himself was such a lover of gentle souls, and he traveled to over 200 countries in the 20s and 30s and early 40s, and he brought back a lot of photographs and film of people. And, you know, like the unicorn man and tall people and people with three arms and, you know, just freaks of nature in a way. And he never called them freaks. He just called them special people.
Mm-hmm.
And he always was very generous. And he would sit down and talk to all these people. And, you know, it's so Ripley, through the years, has really presented some of the I guess you call them freaks. I mean, there's really nothing else to call them, but he never took advantage of them. And it I am so proud when I read the diaries of Ripley, how he spoke of these people. But he always featured them in the book, but he always just took very good care of them. And we loved it. You know, that's what a great legacy.
I would say so. And how wonderful it is that there is a team of people, including yourself, that is consistently discovering new things around the world that's going to be brought in front of other people. I just think it's absolutely, absolutely marvelous. It is so much fun to talk about it. It is so much fun to learn various facts. One, like the Queen of England, the legal owner of all the dolphins, sturgeons, porpoises, and whales in the water within 3 miles of the United Kingdom shores. Big deal. They swim out of there, then she's no longer got them as property, unless they're starting to brand them like cattle. I mean, it's just amazing, the various things that go on in the world. And, Tim, you have one of the most interesting jobs.
Well, thank you. I think so.
I definitely think you do.
You know, I don't think there's any other job that I could entertain the TSA agents at airports with shrunken heads and giant hairballs.
Oh, they must just love you in security. Oh, this would be great.
I taunt them.
I can imagine. Oh, no, this man's coming through again. They know you're coming, and they're going to be all over you, just wanting to know the latest stuff that you've brought. Tim, do you have a website for Ripley's that people can go to?
We do.
Your number four book.
It's a fun website. You can not only order our books, all of our books from them, but, you know, it's almost like a YouTube of the weird. You know, we have people uploading videos as well as photographs, so we have great archives. We have, you know, most people offer podcasts. We offer oddcasts.
Oh, okay.
And so it's a fun site to visit, to play with, even if you don't buy anything. It's ripleys.com. It's just very www.ripleys.com. And will take you to Amazon to buy all of our books. And, you know, just have a good time playing. It's we feature different videos on there all the time. And it's also lists all of our attractions, hours, all the information that you need to go to any of our great museums.
And if nothing else, if you ever encounter a know-it-all somebody, read Ripley's before you go to the gathering, because you'll be able to put them in their place really fast.
Absolutely right.
That could ever be discovered in the whole world.
You're absolutely
all about that. Tim, this has been wonderful. Thank you so much.
Well, Donna, thanks for having me back. I appreciate it. It's always fun.
Delight.
It's always fun to find a fan of Ripley's.
Oh, of course.
And you are a huge fan, and we really appreciate it.
You're more than welcome, Tim O'Brien. And we are going to be taking a break. And don't forget, go to Ripley's.com. If you want to impress your teenage kids, surprise them with a few facts they never would have believed. This is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break again. Thank you, Tim, for being my guest. We'll be back in just a moment.
Mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo. Isn't Ripley's fun? Oh, there's just so many things to talk about. And again, teenagers can gross people out with some of the information. And I know you're thinking, Donna, for heaven's sake, we've got enough problems with teenagers. We don't need any of this. But it really makes for fascinating conversation. Also, it gives you an insight into different cultural aspects of people around the world and the oddities of the human being. It's fun, fun stuff. Well, telephone lines are now open. And, of course, I'm delighted to light up your life with a little bit of insight. Here are the telephone numbers you can call in to. USA 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Canadians 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And then we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. And I understand we have got a caller on the line, so we're going to go right to that caller. Welcome to the show. First name or initial. Where are you calling from?
Merced, California. My name is Monica.
Hi, Monica.
Hi.
Nice to have you on the show. Now, let's get down to business. The first thing that I am observing with you is the word disappointment. And interestingly enough, in my mind, it's written out like in a script. So what that is showing me is that though there is a disappointment, there is a flow to the disappointment. So I think part of it is expected, and the other part is an understanding that you're going to be able to work with it, and it's just going to evaporate away. But, Monica, it is important for you to keep your feet on the ground. Having your head in the clouds and dreaming and visualizing, all of that is very good, dear, but you must keep yourself grounded so that you can take the steps of action that you need to take to get the results that you want. It is interesting to me how you have, when you set your mind to task, a determination to get things done that I think is quite good. You must, however, put yourself in that mode and maintain it. Otherwise, you're going to feel a sense of disappointment for yourself. I think what is happening is a part of your life, a routine, something that has been established for a long time, is going away. And you are aware of it already. A part of you would like for it to continue for a while, and yet a part of you is ready for the change that is evolving. So go with the flow, though there is the disappointment. It is not harsh. It is not going to be what I would say overwhelming. It will be there nonetheless, but it will pass. What question do you have for me today?
I wanted to ask about the week of Thanksgiving. There's a lot of activities planned, and I'm hoping to make my obligations the week of Thanksgiving. Do you see that being successful?
Okay, hon, tell me what the obligations are and why you're anxious about these obligations, because you really shouldn't be.
There are family connections and visits and just fitting work, everything in that I'm committed to.
All right. Make out a list, because I think it's going to flow. Everything is not going to turn out absolutely perfectly, but that's okay. I think you can have a good time. With Thanksgiving and with the family, really look at what you've made in a commitment. And if you need help, ask for it.
Okay. On the disappointment, is this regarding a relationship?
I'm not able to answer that for you. I just got the word disappointment written out in a script, beautiful flowing script. So there is a change in your life, and it is evolving, and I think it's affecting all levels of your life, mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical. It's affecting all levels of your life. Whether it is pertaining to a particular relationship, I'm not able to address that at this moment. To me, it is a part of your life that you are moving away from. It could be a lifestyle. It could be something else. But that clarity is not being shown to me.
Okay.
And I want to thank you for your call.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. You have a wonderful Thanksgiving.
And you too. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. This is Donna Siebel, and if you'd like to chat with me, as Monica did, give me a buzz at 877-876-5227, Canadians, 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. I want to let you know about my guest that's going to be coming on tomorrow, Neil Maloney. We are going to be talking about his fascinating book, Renaissance Cop. Now, when I had this book, this was given to me a while back. And because it's fiction, normally I do not read or review fiction. Not that I have anything against it, but I really think truth is stranger than most fiction written. And when I took my last trip to New York, I had pulled this book out thinking it was a book by another author. Lo and behold, when I pull it out, I'm on the plane, I'm reading it, I discover that it's the fictitious book that I had put to the side, and it is very well done. This is an inside view of the police department in the Northwest, a police department in the Northwest, Pacific Northwest, and it is all based on fact, but cloaked with fiction to give the information. Fascinating man, the author Neil Maloney. So he's going to be with us tomorrow. And as I said, truth is stranger than fiction. But many times authors will write fiction so that they can bring out the truth. And that's what he's done with this book. So we'll be talking about with him. And then we're going to have fun with Marta Hyatt, on Thursday. We're going to be talking about remembrances of times past. This is really a lot of fun just to read. And then Leo Pearlstein, a gentleman who's been on my shows for the past 5-6 years. He is just a delightful person. We're going to be talking turkey. Yes, this is a man that has been involved in the food industry for most of his professional life. And, oh, well, we're going to share some recipes with you for the holidays. So you're going to enjoy him, I know. So that's the lineup for this week. Be sure and tell your friends. And by the way, if you miss a show, don't worry about it. Just go into the archives and you can pop it up and you can be working away on whatever you have to work away on and not miss one of the wonderful interviews that I have here on the Donna Siebel Show. It's always a delight to bring these wonderful, wonderful people to you. Oh, and thank those of you. I want to thank those of you that have sent me emails. I have gotten to a number of them. I only have about 600 more to go. So as I get to them, you'll be getting responses from me. And I've received some wonderful, wonderful information from some people, which I will be sharing on the air as the days go on. So, again, thank you for your patience with me. And if you'd like to be on my newsletter list, which goes out once a month, just send me an email at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. Also, what you can do is if you're interested in a private appointment with me, then just call my 800 number, 872-8852, because I do that, and I am available. I'm not going to be on the road traveling. So that's 800-872-8852. Well, yesterday, oh, don't forget, you can give me a buzz if you'd like to chat, 877-876-5227, or Canadians 888-815-9756. I started to tell you yesterday, and we ran out of time, about a modern-day land grab. Now, this is something that sounds a little strange, but it really is going on. Apparently, on August 2nd, there was a deep submergence vehicle called MIR-1, and it was from Russia that planted a titanium flag 13,980 feet underwater on the ocean floor at the North Pole. This was just this past August 2nd. Now, this is one of the latest claims that's been made for territory in the Arctic. Why? Because there's a substantial proportion of the world's energy reserves, mostly in oil and methane, that is believed to reside beneath the ocean floor of the Arctic. So, they consider it untapped wealth. And along with that perception, guess what they think? They think it's going to be a lucrative, ice-free trade route through the Northwest Passage. And it is creating what they call a mapping fervor that the region hasn't seen since the 18th century. Now, they relate it to global warming. They say the Arctic ice is melting at a very, very fast rate, and there's more than one country that is looking to travel through a region that has been barren since James Cook first mapped the Bering Strait in 1778. Russia, the United States, and many others are trying to get more detailed mapping and marking of the floor in the Arctic. There was a Chinese icebreaker that's been studying multi-year sea ice in the Arctic Ocean, and, of course, our U.S. Coast Guard is sounding waters to determine the extent of the Alaskan continental shelf. Now, this intensity of activity has really been creating a lot of very interesting results. There have been military war games in the service of sovereignty and operations by the Canadian government, which is trying to claim much of the melting area. The National Snow and Ice Data Center reports that the Arctic ice shrank by 131,000 miles between August 17th and 21st, leaving ice coverage that's well below the 2005 record low of 2.05 million square miles. Now, what has this produced? Well, it's made the Northwest Passage a lot easier to access than anybody believed could be possible even 5 years ago. Now, Sheldon Drobot, who is an Arctic researcher with the Colorado Center for Astrodynamics Research, said, "We used to say that maybe by the middle of the century, the Arctic would be seasonably navigable. However, climate change is moving faster than we thought in the Arctic. At the current rate, we could see a seasonal shipping route in the next 10 years or more." Remember, there's a lot of volcanic activity that's going on underneath that water. Not necessarily coming from above the ice, ladies and gentlemen. It's coming from below the ice. Fascinating stuff. Anyway, wanted to share that with you. The world is changing, and so are we. And this is Donna Sebo, and we're going to be taking a break for a moment. Don't go away. We've got more good things to share with you when we come back.
Thank you. Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
Johnny finds himself at the entrance to a large open valley, framed by high mountains rich in the brown-red colors of the earth. He stands in awe, even a little fearful of the mountain's great size. After all, he's just a little boy and not very tall.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling, and the author Donna Sebo will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
That 800 number again, 800-872-8852. Filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at donna@delphiinternational.com. That's donna@delphiinternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.delphiinternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is donna@delphiinternational.com, and her website is www.delphiinternational.com.
Wherever you are listening in from, what the weather is like where you are, but here in the Pacific Northwest, the temps are dropping. We have been going through some major windstorms, and the chilling temperatures are becoming more chilling. So what does that mean? That means we've closed up our houses, we've got our fireplaces going, the heat's on. We want to stay nice and cozy. Well, if you're like me and you have office environment, you've got your printers running, you've got your computers running, you've got all kinds of things. One very important component to remember is to keep plants in your environment. And when you do that, they take care of keeping the air in your environment, whether it's the kitchen, the bedrooms, the bathrooms, I don't care, the office area especially. It really helps to keep things balanced and balanced well. And I know I've shared a little bit of this with you before, but I wanted to bring it up again because too often we don't realize the value of a living plant in our environment. We might have silk plants. They look perfect all the time. But the plants really do make a difference with healthy air levels in your home. And believe it or not, your home can become very, very toxic if you're not attentive to this. So here are some plants that you can use, and they're very inexpensive to get. They're not heavy maintenance, and they can make a big difference in your environment. And one plant that is really super, in fact, NASA used it, is the spider plant. Now, they found with the spider plant and with some other similar houseplants, it removed nearly 90% of toxins from the air within 40 hours. And spider plants are the most effective at doing this. And believe me, they're amazing. And you don't really have to do a lot to take care of them. They're just absolutely incredible. It not only does the spider plant clear out allergens and airborne germs, it also filters traces of carbon monoxide and formaldehyde, which is a colorless gas released from wood trim and furniture. Now, the easiest way to keep your spider plant clean and help it filter air better is to just place it in a sink and hose it down with lukewarm water. Very simple. I had a friend who was really an avid plant person. In fact, she ran a business. She supplied businesses with these magnificent plants. And she would bathe her plants. You know, some of them are pretty good size and pretty heavy. But she would have like a very gentle, soapy solution. And she'd wipe the leaves down because she said the leaves breathe, and they get dusty and they get dirty. And she's right, they do. So when you can wash them down with a little bit of moisture, it makes a big difference. Now, something, if you have a tendency towards allergies, a plant you should have in your home is a peace lily. And you can put them in the bathroom. And what this plant does, now it gives off beautiful, beautiful flowers, beautiful lilies, but it helps to get rid of mold spores so they cannot build up on tiles and shower curtains. So that means you're not going to sneeze and you're not going to have as much of a problem with mold developing. And it also clears the air of vapors like acetone and alcohol, which they are in many of our grooming products. So plants do a marvelous, marvelous job. Now, English ivy. This thing will grow anywhere. I mean to tell you, this is a plant that grows anywhere and everywhere. And if you want something that works effectively in an office, this is what you want. And it soaks up benzene, which is a chemical emitted from paper products and office equipment. And why is this important? Well, they have found that benzene affects your thinking processes. So if you have a live plant in your office, you won't get that sleepy, draggy feel. It helps to take care of this. There's been research done on this, and they found that office employees surrounded by plants were less stressed and far more productive. So those of you in business, keep this in mind. Now, here we are in winter, congestion, colds, people get this. How can you have some relief? Try eucalyptus. Now, why is this so important? Well, it's packed with tannins, anti-inflammatories, that prove to break up phlegm in the body. And it's so powerful that just inhaling it reduces mucus in the respiratory tract. Now, you can boil a handful of leaves in water for a couple of minutes, and then, you know, if you have a sinus problem, and then put your bend over the bowl or the pot that you've got this in with a towel over your head and just inhale the vapors. But also, you can find candles that might bring that wonderful smell to you and relief. The eucalyptus is really powerful, powerful stuff. Also, if you want to keep skin soft during winter months, if you're in a harsh winter climate, if you have Boston Ferns, it will make all the difference in the world. It says the plant acts like nature's humidifier. It releases more moisture as indoor air gets drier. But unlike a mechanical humidifier, it won't harbor mold and mildew, so both your skin and your immune system will benefit. Fascinating stuff, isn't it? And African violets, well, they just seem to do something that affects the pituitary gland in the brain and improves creativity. Why? Probably they think because of the color of the flower, and the flower is usually purple. And also they find flowering plants can, of any color, keep you sharp by reducing fatigue and boosting oxygen to the brain. The plant kingdom does a wonderful job. That's why when you go out for a walk, and you're outside, and you are just getting all kinds of fresh air, it invigorates you. If you find yourself being sluggish, pick up your coat, put it on, go out for a walk. It's not going to cost you anything but a little bit of time, and you'll feel better for having doing it, and it will refresh you and get you out of the mental doldrums. Well, we're out of time. This is Donna Sebo. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. And just like my guest, Tim O'Brien, who works for the Ripley's, remember, life is an adventure, and there's so many wonderful things to discover and so many wonderful people to meet. Hey, step up, step out. Life is to be lived, to be experienced, and to be enjoyed. Not just existed in. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.